Oh, yes. Yes, that's your answer. That's your answer to everything.
Tattoo it on your forehead. Your revolution is over, Mr. Lebowski. Condolences. The bomb's lost. My advice to you is to do what your parents did. Get a job, sir. The bombs will always lose. Do you hear me, Lebowski? The...
Hour number two of Overtime. It's coming at you live here. Tanner and Tucker with you until 8 o'clock here. Hashtag Dougs to the Hill. Let's make it official.
I'm on board.
I'm on the station account. Tweet out the hashtag. Let's get some steam behind this. Pull more steam. Oh, God. I'm imagining Coach Dougs doing the game maxims.
Oh, yeah.
Number one.
The impersonator, I think, will do it.
Ooh.
That gets the goosebumps.
Carry the fight to Florida and hang a 50 burger on their ass.
Oh, yeah, always 50 Ooh. Burgers.
Oh, I love the 50 burgers. Oh, I've talked myself into this over the course of like 10, 15 minutes. It's amazing how quickly that happened here.
Yeah, well, I was way too sad when he didn't come to Tennessee, so I need it.
This is the redemption tour, though.
Absolutely.
Redemption time for Dougs. Horace Grant today. In a radio interview, it seems like he might want to fight Michael Jordan. Maybe. Probably.
I'd say that's a long list, though, of people that want to fight Michael Jordan.
Yeah, but it's a shorter list of people who want to fight him and could probably actually beat the crap out of him.
Yeah, Horace is probably top of that list.
I think he is as well. So, former Bulls forward Horace Grant, he has today fired back at claims that Michael Jordan made about him during The Last Dance on ESPN. In a radio interview with Cap & Co. on ESPN 1000 in Chicago today, Grant said, quote, "It is a downright, outright, completely lie that he leaked much of the information in Sam Smith's famous The Jordan Rules book back in the early 90s. This is what Jordan alleged during the documentary. He alleged that Horace Grant was the team whistleblower to Sam Smith. When the Jordan Rules, to give you context, when that book was released, it was your first real insight into, oh, Michael Jordan might be a bit of a prick.
Yep.
He may be a bit of an a-hole to deal with. He's not the squeaky clean, marketable guy that you've been seeing this whole time here. So MJ and... this was one of the earlier Last Dance episodes. It might have been the second week. I think it might have been the second week of episodes.
It might have been I think it was the fifth episode.
So that would have been third week.
Yeah, I think.
Okay. So that was said, and it was talked about immediately on social media for a little bit. Oh, Horace Grant was a snitch. Yada, yada. But you've also had, you know, had Will Perdue, who was part of those teams in the early part of the run. You had Will Perdue say, no, Horace wasn't the only person who was talking to Sam Smith. There were several players in that locker room that talked to him about what was going on. Pretty much not denying that Horace talked to him, but he wasn't the only one. He wasn't the only one that was telling some of the dirt to Sam Smith. So Horace continued on saying today, he said, lie, lie, lie. If MJ had a grudge with me, let's settle this like men.
I'd buy that pay-per-view.
AKA, let's fight.
I'd buy that pay-per-view.
Woo.
Let's see it. There's nothing else going on.
He followed that up by saying, let's talk about it, or we can settle it another way.
He really does want to fight Michael Jordan.
I mean, Horace Grant, he looks fantastic.
He's in great shape.
He looks as good as he did as a player. And Horace Grant didn't hold nothing back. He's the one who, in one of the episodes when he was talking about the Bad Boy Pistons walking off the court without shaking the Bulls' hands when they finally got that monkey off their back, Horace Grant's the one wearing the NBA Cares polo, calling them straight up B-words.
Yep.
You think Horace Grant cares? I don't think he does. I absolutely believe he would try to fight Michael Jordan right now.
And it would be awesome.
I would absolutely want to see that. I don't know. More of the quote from Grant. But yet and still, he goes out and puts this lie out that I was the source behind the book. Sam and I have always been great friends. We're still great friends. But the sanctity of that locker room, I would never put anything personal out there. The mere fact that Sam Smith was an investigative reporter, that he had to have two sources, too, to write a book, I guess. Why would MJ just point me out? It's only a grudge, man, I'm telling you. It was only a grudge, and I think he proved that during this so-called documentary. When, if you say something about him, he's going to cut you off. He's going to try to destroy your career. That was one thing, though, right? That was proven about MJ during the course of this. He would even make up stuff about opponents to give himself motivation.
Absolutely.
There's countless times he said, yeah, it became personal for me. Michael Jordan, it's like his ears are burning. Just 1,000 miles away, some random person says, ah, back in the 90s, ah, I don't think MJ's all that good. What?
Yeah. Guess I'll go drop 50. Off.
What? Oh, you done it now, man. I'm putting 70 on your favorite team.
Jerry Krause thinks someone's an all right basketball player and I'll scout them a little bit. I will end their life.
I will literally end their life on the court. I will burn their house down. Yeah, MJ would go that far.
Yeah, never met Kukoc. I think I hate him. I think I hate that guy. Okay, yeah.
Ended up being one of his great friends throughout the later part of the run. But, that's funny how that happened.
But they were terrible to him in that first game.
Absolutely terrible to him. So, Grant, he was a part of the first three-peat. He noted in the interview that some of Jordan's closest relationships have deteriorated over the years because of critical comments made about him. Brings up one that a lot of people brought up, too. MJ and Charles Barkley used to be pals of pals.
Mm-hmm.
And now, basically, they don't have a relationship because Chuck might have said something about him on air one time. This is what Grant said more in the interview. I want to go back and listen to the audio of this.
Oh,
it seems like it was very juicy. Horace Grant said, Charles Barkley, they've been friends for over 20, 30 years. And he said something about Michael's management with the Charlotte Bobcats or the Charlotte Hornets, and then they haven't spoken since then. And my point is, he said that I was the snitch, but yet and still after 35 years, he brings up his rookie year going into one of his teammates' rooms and seeing coke and weed and women. My point is, why the hell did he want to bring that up? What's that got to do with anything? I mean, if you want to call somebody a snitch, that's a damn snitch right there.
That's a really good point.
MJ snitching about the Bulls traveling cocaine circus while Jordan's trying to say, nah, I wasn't doing any of that, man. I wasn't even drinking.
Okay. Okay, Mike. You had no part in it. He's got a good point. Old Horace here has a great point.
I think you can realistically look at The Last Dance and your takeaways from Michael Jordan, and you can have, I think, the stance that I have, too. It made me respect Michael Jordan a lot more. It made me realize that, man, probably is the GOAT when it's all said and done. But at the same time, yeah, the general public knew that MJ had been prickish for a long time, and this just proved it, and then some. But it didn't just prove he had that type of attitude. It really proved that he's... Sorry for any of my Gen X listeners who looked up to him. Michael Jordan, kind of soft. Kind of a snowflake.
Yeah. Gets his feelings hurt and gets mad real easily.
Yeah. Oh. There's petty, and then there's just soft, like mentally, personally wise. It's weird to say that about Michael Jordan because he had a killer mentality on the court. His mentality on the court's a lot different than his mentality off of it, though, his relationships. How can you hear Charles Barkley, whose job has been for decades now, to be an NBA commentator and analyst? Charles Barkley doesn't hold anything back. Charles Barkley's honest about what he sees. I mean, he might be one of the most honest, him and Shaq, absolutely most unfiltered people you see on sports television.
They're not holding the thing back.
And they had the careers to prove that they can back up their comments about stuff.
Yeah.
Charles Barkley, even though he didn't win an NBA championship, he's one of the best in the modern era.
Absolutely.
NBA.
Yeah.
You've been friends. Chuck and MJ have been friends for decades. Charles said something that's absolutely true about when MJ was running the then Bobcats, running that franchise, and how much he sucked at it, for lack of a better term.
It was awful.
Making real, like, I would say that the comments were constructive criticism. Let me look up exactly what you said. I would assume it was constructive criticism.
Yeah, it would make sense. I mean, and he didn't say anything wrong. I mean,
Michael Jordan, a terrible executive.
Horrible. Who would say, I mean...
It's fair to say, that doesn't diminish anything.
No.
When I think of Michael Jordan, I don't think about what he did to the Bobcats.
Who cares?
That's one of the things in my mind. I don't think about, you know, his, you know, third stint in the NBA with the Wizards that, you know, it was obviously past prime Jordan. I don't think about that much. It's the same thing, like, when you think of Phil Jackson, do you think about how terrible he was in the front office of the Knicks?
No.
As Stephen A. Smith has famously said, his very first move as an executive was to sign Lamar Odom, who was on crack!
Yeah.
That doesn't diminish the greatness that happened before. I don't think it does.
No.
Charles Barkley was being honest. Let me find what he said. Barkley went on the same radio station 2 weeks ago saying, that guy was like a brother to me for 20-something years, at least 20-something years, and I do feel sadness, but to me, he's still the greatest basketball player ever. I wish him nothing but the best, but there's nothing I can do about brother, talking about their deteriorated friendship.
I don't see anything that bad. Like,
well, I'm trying to get to the actual comments.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get to actually.
I mean, it seems like Chuck.
Okay. He was on the same program on ESPN Radio in Chicago more than 8 years ago.
God.
And
it's a long time.
The relationship has been broken ever since. I have to click on. Oh, come on, ESPN.
Just type it out.
I have to click on another link that takes me back to March 1st, 2012.
Okay.
So. Okay, here's what he said about him and the Bobcats. I finally have the comments. I think the biggest problem has been I don't know if he has hired enough people around him who he will listen to. One thing about being famous is the people around you. You pay all their bills, so they very rarely disagree with you because they want you to pick up the check. They want to fly around in your private jet, so they never disagree with you. I don't think Michael has hired enough people around him who will disagree. I love Michael, but he has just not done a good job. Even though he is one of my great friends, I can't get on here and tell you he's done a great job. He has not done a great job, plain and simple. At the time, in March 2012, the Bobcats had the worst record in the NBA at 4-29 and had lost 19 of their last 20 games.
I don't see anything out of the way.
Nothing was wrong.
He was completely right.
And Michael Jordan severed a long friendship because of that.
Because he got his feelings hurt.
Because
he's soft.
You know what real friends do? They'll give you constructive criticism. If you're a real friend, you'll be honest with your buddy. No matter if it's going to, you know, rub them the wrong way or not. Because there's a right way about telling someone something they don't want to hear.
MJ just backed up everything that Charles just said. You know, where people won't disagree with you, and they'll just go with what you say, so you don't, you know.
You think MJ has anyone in his circle who is critical of him?
No, he'll fire him, apparently.
Anything he's done in the past?
Yeah, he'll just fire him, because, oh, that hurts my feelings. You have to tell me I'm doing great.
That's the thing. MJ is, you know, great.
He is great.
He is.
At basketball.
But the Charles Barkley example, that's a very noble example. If you say something about him, he'll cut you off. Just like that. How many other examples are there?
Yeah, that's one person. And that's just in 2012. I mean, golly.
Michael Jordan, soft as hell when it comes to his personal life.
You see, but
soft,
like,
as hell. I think he's the greatest. I personally think he's the greatest. I love The Last Dance. I love finding out what makes him such a great competitor. It was fantastic. Michael Jordan, funny dude, too. One of the most memeable people.
He is funny.
All started back with the Crying Jordan meme. Now you have MJ watching the iPad and everything else.
Everything he does turns into a meme.
And I don't think MJ's a terrible person. I don't think he's a bad person. I'm not saying that because...
No.
Man, just go back and watch him speak at Kobe's memorial service.
Yeah,
he's just absolute
dude.
Wreck.
Yeah,
over Kobe Bryant. But that's just the thing. And there's we probably know people throughout our personal life who have the same mentality Michael Jordan does when it comes to criticism. It's not exclusive to people who've made hundreds of millions of dollars be the best at their sport or anything.
Oh,
like
no.
That.
There's people like thing. That in everybody's lives. I mean, everybody knows someone like that. Maybe not to an extreme extent, but you know somebody who cannot take that criticism and is real quick to just say, okay, I don't like you anymore. We're done.
Yeah, MJ Soft.
S-A-W-F-T. Soft.
Sorry, Gen X people. Sorry, big MJ fans. He's great, as I just said multiple times, but...
He's good at basketball. He's very great.
Michael Jordan, Snowflake. Who would have thunk it? Who would have thunk it here? Let's go somewhere completely different here, because I feel like if I don't mention this now, we won't get a chance to talk about it. And I'm going to give a shout again to our own Will Stevens, intern Will, doing great work on our website, fanrunradio.com. So everyone remembers what Will did a few weeks ago, just completely took a flamethrower at the Jack McAbar stool. And, you know, because he was trying to get after, you know, Tennessee fans and all that. And he just complete takedown. Got talked about on their college football podcast. You got to remember, Will Stevens is only 18, folks.
Mm-hmm.
He's only 18. Continues to do good work for the website. I didn't know this was a thing until he wrote about this last night. So, sports have kind of been back in some Asian countries for a minute now. You've had Korean baseball's been back. Baseball's been back in Taiwan. They try to bring sports back in Japan as well. So, soccer has been going on in South Korea as well. So, in the K-League, which I'm going to assume is the top league over in South Korea, you had FC Seoul in their home stadium. They're doing what a lot of you've seen the baseball stadiums do. They put the fake fans in the stands.
Yeah.
To make it appear as though the stands aren't completely empty. Some of them have been like cardboard cutouts. Well, FC Seoul, they decide to provide the players with a form of support. And I read right from Will's article, which you can check out on fanrunradio.com. So for the benefit of the players, they got sex dolls to replace fans. And here's a picture of it. It's straight up. And it's not the cheap ones either. It's not those blow-up dolls. It's like the ones that some losers out there will drop hundreds of dollars on.
Why is that motivation for professional athletes?
And they got these fans and these stands wearing masks and everything, too.
Like medical masks?
Yes, surgical masks. I would say from a distance, they look real from a distance. the next line here. He writes, when we said we want bleeping sports back, this is not what we meant. Get it?
That's a good one. That's a good one.
So there's just... here's the thing, while there's a controversy over this, it's not because they used sex dolls. It's not because of that. So there's two reasons FC Seoul is in trouble. One, the dolls, they were holding signs promoting a Korean porn streaming site, the equal to an OnlyFans account.
Oh, my Lord.
Advertising for these types of companies is against K-League rules. And the other reason many Korean viewers were upset is because this act could embarrass the league and lower the respect from others. But
yeah, I'm looking at this is kind of weird.
It's one really... thing to have the sex dolls, but the sex dolls promoting a porn site right in the middle of your top flight soccer league. Ugh. Might be going a little too far there. Some form of support, I guess.
Yeah.
Or are you finding out more? Are you seeing more?
Yeah, I'm just reading. So apparently it went through multiple like levels of, hey, these aren't sex dolls, right? No. Okay. And then,
of
like,
course not.
And then like other people were like, it went through a confirmation process that they were not adult products several times, and then didn't notice that.
What a great process.
They didn't even notice that there was an ad for adult products visible on game day.
A very thorough vetting process of the sex doll fans.
And then they just come out and say, this is our fault without excuse. That our bad. Regardless, we apologize. Ugh. That's so... So they got duped.
Yeah, they did.
So they thought they were getting mannequins.
I guess they thought, and I mean, you would think that too, but upon closer inspection, you probably realized, no, it's a little different. Last time I checked, mannequin can't open their mouth.
No. Nope.
Or other orifices. I'm just going to keep moving on here.
Yeah.
And again, just because we're singing the praises of Will Stevens here, he writes, "These doll fans remind me a lot of Vandy fans. Not real. But unlike Vandy, these stands are filled with something." I can't read the other line. But I can't believe this got published on their site. It's pretty good. I like it.
Attaboy.
There's some I'll have to read some lines off the air. I can't repeat some of this stuff.
I love it.
Yeah, we are getting edgy over at fanrunradio.com. Our digital side of things.
We got the edgy content. We got everything you need.
So there went the idea of filling up your NBA, NHL arenas, NFL stadiums with sex dolls. Which NFL team was most likely to use sex doll fans?
The Dallas Cowboys. Jerry Jones is definitely on board with that. I mean, right?
Oh, God. I couldn't have... Oh.
That's right up his alley.
I can't. Just the things I'm thinking about with, like, people...
Jerry World. Full to the brim.
Okay, besides Cowboys. Who's got... Oh, you know who'd be down for this.
Do I?
The Colts, because of Jim Irsay.
Jim
Irsay, absolutely. He'd be doing some type of pills with them.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure.
Yep.
Is that off-color remark right there?
I don't know.
Dude's kind of an ass, but he also kind of has problems, I think.
He's
an ass. He has some creepy old tweets, though.
Does he really?
Okay, I think I'm vindicating saying it, because he has some creepy old tweets.
Ugh.
You want me to look up examples?
Oh,
just to make sure
you can pull them up.
Make sure
real
I'm not
quick.
Just slandering.
Yeah, I'll see if I can
a billionaire who could like sue us for slander. Jim Irsay, Jim Irsay is very, very interesting the way he uses Twitter. Let's see. I Googled Jim Irsay old tweets. Here's a link from 2017. Colts owner Jim Irsay's account tweets porn. an apparent case of hacking. October 2014, Jim Irsay returns to Twitter, strange as ever. I need to see some of these. What's... Oh. This one from 2013. It's a picture of Irsay with the caption, "It's time to let the monster get out of its cage to feed," with about 50 exclamation points. It is a picture of Jim Irsay wearing a Colts hat and some t-shirt, and there's like a... It looks like there's some giant stain in the middle of his shirt.
Oh. Lovely.
Yeah.
I got a really weird one. And it's not just, it's not like edgy or
it
anything.
It might have been
it's
the one I'm looking for. Go ahead and read it to me.
What can I say? I could say something, but nothing is something. Nothing is nothing isn't nothing. If I say it, it's something. No things are nothing things.
Huh?
Yep.
What? This dude's weird.
And then I got another one that just says, "My Twitter has K-N-O-W, no rules, spelled with two L's. / spelling with one L, comma, proper quotes. Don't care. It is what it is. You do your Twitter however you want. Minus free of free. Dig."
Here's the one I was thinking about when I thought about how weird Jim Irsay is. Back from 2010, at Jim Irsay, "I know it's a sin, but I have a crush on Sarah Palin's feet."
Oh, Jim, no.
Said he had a crush on Sarah Palin's feet.
I found an even weirder one. I don't know. I guess this is...
I want to hear it.
So I hired the Gimp from Pulp Fiction...
Not the Gimp!
...to clean my reading glasses. He lives in a trap door in my owner's suite, but also does my grocery shopping. Oh.
We have went down the rabbit hole here. First, I just made a comment about weird, creepy owners. Now we got to realize how actually weird Jim Irsay is.
It's
yeah,
crazy.
I don't feel bad for saying he has drug problems.
No, I think you're allowed to say.
You got billions of dollars, Jim.
I believe you're
okay.
Allowed to say such a thing.
Sarah Palin's feet, huh? How about that? And yeah, he would definitely have sex doll fans at Lucas Oil Stadium.
100%, yeah.
There you go. Well, we have discussed the Korean soccer sex doll scandal. this follows the day after talking about the Kentucky cheerleading naked basket toss.
Too much nudity lately.
A whole lot of stuff. It's getting weird here.
It is getting weird. 2020, weird year.
Very weird here on Overtime.
Hot take.
Let's hit this break. Come back with more as we cruise along in hour two of Overtime. You're listening to Fan Run Radio. Back after this. Back on Overtime here. Today, big anniversary today, Tucker. Do you know what it is? It's a one-year anniversary of something. May 19th.
May 19th.
What happened on this day a year ago?
I don't know.
It is the one-year anniversary of the Game of Thrones finale.
Ah, gotcha.
Season 8, Episode 6, The Iron Throne, May 19th, 2019.
And people were very upset about it.
Yeah, but I think for the strong, at least a very vocal portion of people, of fans who had reactions, I think a lot of it was less anger, more of it was just meh and disappointment.
Yeah.
I think a lot of your anger came in the episode before that. That's where, Daenerys turned into Hitler, basically.
Okay.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
No.
Do you want me to keep going?
You can. I don't care. Everybody being upset about the last season made me stop watching. Okay.
Well, just in case you still want to get details, I won't go completely detailed, but the penultimate episode, the bells. Yeah, Daenerys. Yeah, Dany did a wrestling heel turn. If that makes sense.
Ah, gotcha. Okay.
She went insane. And that's as far as I'll go. There was more anger at that, and especially from your Game of Thrones fans that were big fans of Dany.
Yeah.
Big Emilia Clarke fans. I don't know how you couldn't be a fan of Emilia Clarke.
Yeah.
That's neither here nor there, though. But yeah, it's been a year, and when it was all over, I just said to myself, well, I'm just thankful I haven't been keeping up with this since like 2012. I was late to the party. I didn't get to hang on to this for years and years and be kind of let down.
Yeah, I mean, I watched. I wouldn't have been that mad because I literally started the show at the beginning of the last season. And I got all the way to the introduction of the Night King, and then the show ended, and people said, it's awful. I wouldn't even waste my time. And I said, okay. But I may go back to it eventually. I don't know.
You'll be let down by a lot of things. I'll just be honest with you. There were some high points of that season. I think it started out fine and then just slowly went on a type of trajectory.
Gotcha.
And I'll be honest now, since it's been a year, do you remember the leaks coming out like right in the middle of the season, basically about everything?
I remember, yeah, people were finding out about the episodes before the episodes, right? Or something like that.
I caved. And after the big battle with the Night King, I caved and look at the spoilers. I'll go ahead and admit I did that. Just thinking that, no, surely this wouldn't happen. They were all right.
Ooh.
They were all right and just, ugh. Let down. Let down the season. And it's a very hard thing to do, and I'm sure if you'll get any Hollywood writer, producer, executive to talk about this, I'm sure they'll all share the same sentiments. It's a hard thing to do to wrap up a series in the final episode. The final episode is just, it's a hard thing to get completely right. I think only a few shows have done it right. Breaking Bad's a show that did it right.
The first show I ever actually, like, watched.
Mm-hmm. Older like sitcoms and stuff, people say Cheers did it right, MASH did it right. Then you have stuff like Seinfeld and their weird ending.
I don't even know the ending to Seinfeld.
They went to jail.
Okay, that's weird.
The plane they were on almost crashed and they went to jail. I don't know. I'm not like a diehard Seinfeld
fan.
Yeah,
I've just seen a handful of episodes.
All I do know is that's one of the most watched episodes of TV ever. That was right before the internet became like a big thing and less people started watching TV. So you had a big chunk of the American population sit down and watch that episode. So you could imagine the millions of people who were let down.
Ugh.
But it's a hard thing to do. It's a hard thing to do. But I do think that old D&D, they could have done a little better. They could have done a little better to wrap things up. And you're not going to please everyone.
No, definitely not.
And you shouldn't do fan service if you're a writer, I don't think. Because, again, if you're doing some fan service, not all fans think the same. There's just some things that could have been better. Especially who ended up sitting upon the throne.
Yeah, don't tell me that. I know everybody. I haven't seen a person happy about that.
I won't tell you who, but I'm not going to sugarcoat that. It's kind of dumb.
Okay.
It's kind of dumb.
Maybe I will finish the show, and then when I finish, I can share my thoughts as well.
The way a couple of characters were, the way they bit the dust at the same time, a couple of characters, no. I didn't like that, and a lot of people didn't like it either. For such a great show, it was just, and all the fans will agree that for something that was so great, one of the most beloved, popular, discussed television series of all time, it just went out with a whimper. Kind of went out with a whimper.
Yeah, I remember just like, because the only reason that I started watching the show was because it was so loved that when it was finally, you know, it's coming to an end, it was everywhere. I mean, I couldn't get on Twitter on Sunday nights. I couldn't let myself because I would see, dude, that's all that was on there. That was it. So I mean, at that point I was like, I'm either gonna have to get on board here or just let myself be spoiled. So I made the choice to start watching it.
So let's segue into this conversation here. And I have an article from Insider just to get a certain outlet's opinion on the most hated series finales of all time. Before we get into the list, what are some of your most personal, you know, disappointments when it comes to TV series endings, or maybe even movies? Not the same things, but what's something that either just it started out so good and it ended so disappointing, or just something just hated?
See, my thing is like if I'm watching a show and like. It's rarely where I get to the part where it gets so bad that, like, it becomes a news article. I can kind of be like, I'm out before that. So I'm not there at the end.
Yeah.
Like, Dexter, I saw, like, I don't even know how many seasons it was, but I stopped, like, 2 seasons before everybody got really mad. So maybe I was right to get out early on that one. But that's one that people were definitely angry about. But I don't have many that disappointed me. I think I'm easy to please on most things.
I'm right there with you a lot. Just because they had a bit of a pickle on their hands, and I think the show might have ran its course for like a season too long, maybe. The final season of that 70s show sucks.
Oh, yeah, no,
because there's no Eric.
No Eric, and
there's no protagonist.
And Kelso's in and out a lot,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, because Ashton Kutcher was becoming more of a star himself.
Yeah.
Yeah, that season sucked.
Randy, they brought Randy in. Hated Randy.
Go to hell, Randy.
And Donna was a blonde.
I didn't hate blonde Donna.
It just didn't sit right with me.
I actually liked her more as a blonde.
Okay.
That's just
maybe me. I'm in the minority.
That's just my personal opinion. I don't, and you might be in the majority here. What else that I really hated?
It's hard.
I really don't know.
Because you kind of forget them.
This is a show not a lot of people now talk about because it was on like the late 80s, early 90s. But a couple years ago, it was Spring Break. I was so bored over Spring Break and they had all the episodes. I watched all of The Wonder Years on Netflix.
Oh, okay.
A lot of episodes, but I watched it.
That's Corey from, what's its name?
Oh, thinking of...
He was also in another show, right? The kid in The Wonder Years?
Boy Meets World.
Yes.
It was his, that's his brother.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
That's his brother. I can't remember the actor's name off the top of my head, but yeah, that's his,
okay, yeah, I
that's
knew
his
it was
older brother.
Okay, yeah.
Who starred in The Wonder Years, and that just declined as like the kids stopped being kids and they got older. They're not done yet, but my God, I quit watching Family Guy a long time ago. I don't find that funny anymore.
Yeah, when you get old enough to realize there's really no plot development, it's just...
It's like this one time, guys.
45-second
cutaway
conversation.
Pop culture
boom.
Cutaway. Yeah. That's what we built our whole series off of, and it's lame.
Yeah, it got old.
If Malcolm Harris was with me right now, he'd punch me for what I'm about to say, but most people agree. Man, Simpsons have not been funny in years.
I've not watched an episode of The Simpsons since I watched episodes of Family Guy.
You talk about a show that has outstayed and overstayed its welcome?
Yeah.
The Simpsons.
Yeah,
you just run out of stuff to talk about eventually.
There's nothing to do. I mean, and you in the cartoon format, unless you want to go the route of having them age over time.
Barely ever happens.
No, you can't. You don't see that ever. There's not much you can do anymore. I mean, the kids have been in all the kid situations. The parents have been in all the parent situations. There's not a lot going on. And now apparently they're going crazy. So I've seen like pop culture references and stuff like that are what drives it.
I'll give you one more show before I read some of this list here. And just so I bring something to the table here other than that 70s show. I don't think it overstayed its welcome. I think they ended the show at like the right time frame. But just me personally, I would like to see King of the Hill end differently.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think they could have wrapped up some of their long plots better.
Yeah.
But that's just me.
I miss King of the Hill.
Oh, I do too, man. I really do think it might be my favorite all-time show.
It could come back.
I've referenced it on my Twitter account more than anything.
It's so good.
So good. Whoa!
Whoa!
All right, let me run through here. Insider, and this was a year ago, so this was right after Game of Thrones ended.
Ugh.
The 19 most hated series finale. So this is just series finales, not last season.
Just episodes.
Here we go. How I Met Your Mother. Oh, people hated that.
I actually didn't watch How I Met Your Mother. I'm starting to realize I don't watch many things.
Well, How I Met Your Mother, it's been off the air for a while, so I'll just go ahead and say it. Basically, I'll read you what Insider says.
I think I've already heard how it
ends. Fans waited 9 seasons to finally meet the titular mother, only to have her die shortly after because of a terminal illness. To top it all off, Barney, who went through some immense character growth throughout the seasons, reverts to his playboy self, and he and Robin divorce. And after their whole back and forth, Ted and Robin somehow go back to each other, and nothing makes sense.
Oh, yeah, that sounds terrible. I mean, I know the characters, and I've watched episodes. Yeah, that's
pretty
awful.
People hate it because you waited years to be like, who is the mother? Here she is. Oh, she's dead. Sorry.
So the whole plot of the show was him talking to his kids, like, this is how me and your mother met, because she's about to die?
Well, no, I remember seeing clips of that last episode. I never watched it.
Yeah.
But I was just curious, so I looked up clips. He's conversating with his kids the whole time. His mom is already dead. And his kids are the one that tells Ted, who's the protagonist in the series, the kids are the ones saying, oh, you totally had the hots for Aunt Robin, who's not really their aunt. It's their aunt.
Okay.
I was like, yeah, go after Robin. Her and Bonner are divorced now. It's like, what?
That's so weird.
Yeah, I think the mother was only there for like one season, and then they did like the future, you know, trying to catch up with the timeline and everything.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, your mom died.
Wow.
Well, I'm off to screw your aunt now. See ya.
Ugh.
All right, let's keep going on here. The final season of the original Roseanne.
Yeah, I've heard about that one.
Dexter.
Yep.
Fans were angry with the final image of Dexter.
Yep.
He turned into a lumberjack, basically.
Yep, that's what I've heard.
You have True Blood. The two episode... Oh, this one. Hated on for a while. The two episode finale of Lost.
Yeah,
a show I never watched.
Never watched, but I know everybody didn't like that ending or were super confused by it. Because, yeah.
Some more here. They have Gossip Girl. Saint Elsewhere. You ever heard of St. Elsewhere, the medical drama?
I've heard the name, I think. Yeah, it was about a hospital.
Yeah. Here's how it ended. It didn't exist. The hospital was all in a snow globe that a boy who was fascinated by the snow globe, he made up all the thing in his mind. It didn't exist.
So is that, do you think shows end like that because maybe like the network's trying to like end it and they're like, okay, go ahead, end us. We'll do it this way.
It's just a dream. Yeah. That's how the Bob Newhart show ended.
Yeah.
Just a dream. Two and a Half Men. People hated that because it was so weird. Basically because Chuck Lorre, the series creator, he used his series finale episode to trash talk Charlie Sheen. He killed Charlie Sheen with a falling piano.
Yep.
I remember watching that.
I watched that episode.
It was strange.
Weird.
That's right when Charlie Sheen was going through his whole...
He was going crazy.
Tiger blood and winning phase. Yep.
Cocaine and, yeah.
Here's Seinfeld. It ended with the main cast in prison.
That's very weird.
Many fans were angry that the four main characters end up in prison for being bad people after making fun of a guy being mugged. The entire finale is a rehashing of all the rude and awful things they've done throughout the seasons, but felt out of place within the entire context of the show.
Yeah, that's weird.
Smallville, Game of Thrones, of course. Some of these shows I've never heard of. Pretty Little Liars. I remember being back in high school. Girls I'd go to high school with would tweet about all the time.
And then there was guys who would be like, yeah, I watched that show.
Yeah, totally.
No, you don't. No, you don't.
Totally. Scrubs, Star Trek Enterprise, and it ends.
Maybe I've got great taste because there's not many on that list.
I think this also goes to show it's really hard to end a show that people in the way that people will like.
Because a lot of those shows were really good all the way up until the end. And then it was...
I don't think any of those shows listed, you know, are considered to suck.
No, none of those.
Because they wouldn't have made it all the way to a finale.
Exactly.
If a show sucks, it doesn't get a finale.
No, you get one season.
Sometimes a good show doesn't get a finale.
No.
So there you go. So 1 year anniversary at the end of Game of Thrones. It was meh. I didn't hate it, but it was meh.
Very.
So meh. I'll tell you what's not meh. It's the birthday game, and it's coming up next. I should have Hayden Wallen, Tucker.
Oh, so we get to rehash this.
I have to text him, though. See if he's ready. We shall see. You may have competition. You may not. Either way, we're going to wrap up this Tuesday edition of Overtime. On the other side, you are listening to Fan Run Radio.
Time to play the game.
Hayden Wallen, you coward. I don't guess you get competition tonight, Tucker.
That's fine with me.
You'll get some tomorrow. AJ Cook will be in studio along for the ride.
I'm okay with that.
Always looking forward to have AJ. AJ takes the birthday game pretty seriously.
Oh, absolutely. That is for sure.
Hayden not going to call in to the birthday game. Well, Tucker, I guess with that being said, I guess we'll just quiz you.
That's fine with me. That's fine. We can do that.
It's a pretty good day. I wanted to moderate an actual game. It's good content today, birthday wise. I would grade this an A-.
See, the only good thing about competition is I can't embarrass myself completely, because if I just stay silent and the other person doesn't get it, then it's fine. Or they'll get it, and it's, you know. Unless, you know...
I do prefer the competition.
Oh, yeah, it's much better. And I can't not know, like, a name like Verlander, which will haunt me till I die.
Well, we shall see how you do today. Birthday number one, he is 28 years old today. I'm looking for his stage name here. He is an American EDM producer and DJ.
Deadmau5.
No. You're close, though.
Skrillex.
No. His name is Christopher Comstock. But he goes by the stage name. He does wear...
Marshmallow.
It is Marshmallow. I was going to say a type of mask.
I was just going to go with as many as I could name, and I was done after that one.
Man, I can't do the EDM thing, man. I don't hate modern EDM, but like I enjoy myself at some of those EDM shows I went to at Bonnaroo, because my group and then girlfriend dragged me around because they were all into it.
Yeah.
But I'm just like, I see why people are on so much drugs right now.
Yeah.
I saw Odessa. They were good. I enjoyed Odessa.
Okay.
But some of these other DJs, I'm like, this is crap.
Yeah.
This is absolute crap.
It's like throwing a bunch of music into a blender and just mixing it all together. There's a lot going on.
I almost feel like all the... And for someone who likes music like I do, I shouldn't say something like this, but I feel like a lot of those songs were the same because everyone around me at Bonnaroo, they were just waiting for that one bass drop.
Yes, that's all they're doing. It's
just like hands in the air, it's building up bass.
And then they just start jumping and flailing. That's all they wait on. It's like going to a concert and like just waiting on the chorus the entire time. It's like the verses are good too. Like yeah. That.
But happy 28th Marshmallow anyway. He's made a whole lot of money.
Oh, yeah.
Whole lot of money here. Also 28 today, born on the same day as Marshmallow, also a musician. They are 28 today. Not he or she, they are
the
28
Jonas
today.
Brothers.
No, it's one person. I respect pronouns here. They've recently went from he to they, as in like a year ago. But English musician, pretty popular. Was featured on Disclosure's Latch.
Sam Smith. Okay.
Also Stay With Me and...
I didn't know he...
songs.
I didn't know they went to they.
Yeah.
Okay. I missed that news.
We respect pronouns here on... That's right. Overtime. 39 today. You're 2 for 2 so far. Another music one. 39, American rapper. He is from Memphis, actually. 39 from Memphis, or at least born in Memphis. Yeah, he is from Memphis. 39. Let me get some songs here. He's a name you have heard of. I'm going to have to look up his songs, though, because I can't think of songs. He's been active since the mid-2000s. Here we go. Down in the DM from 2015. Rake It Up. With Nicki Minaj, Mike Will made it. He's got some hits.
Gucci Mane.
No.
Oh, Gucci Mane.
Not Gucci.
Is it?
Yeah, I have to hurry. So
yeah,
we're
I don't.
Against it.
I don't know. I can't think of the name.
Yo Gotti.
Yo Gotti. Okay.
Yo Gotti.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
You're 2 for 3.
I'm not as embarrassed about that one.
Mm-mm. All right. No more music so far. 3 of these next 4 are dead, by the way.
Okay.
Hope you know your dad celebrities here. He would have been 74 today. He was a French wrestler and actor. He was big.
French
from the French Alps. Got body slammed by Hulk Hogan.
Andre the Giant.
It's Andre the Giant, yeah.
He was French?
Yes.
Oh.
And also, of course, in The Princess Bride.
Yes. Yeah.
R.I.P. Andre, man. His story is sad.
Yeah.
He just didn't stop growing.
Never.
All right, you're 3 for 4. He would have been 95 today. He was an American civil rights activist. A very kind of more radical civil rights activist.
Malcolm X,
he was assassinated.
Yep.
By people who were supposed to be on his own side. Assassinated by the Nation of Islam, I'm pretty sure. Which he was a part of.
That was a crazy time in America.
Very crazy. All right, 4 or 5, doing fantastic here. 44 today. NBA legend. He's an NBA champion, multi-time All-Star. He's going to be inducted. Is he already in the Hall of Fame? No, he will be going into the Hall of Fame this year, actually. 15-time All-Star. Played with the Timberwolves, Celtics, Nets. Anything is possible.
Kevin Garnett. Anything. I was, okay.
That was a giveaway
I was about to say it when I went, okay, he went from the T-Wolves to the Celtics. Mm-hmm. That's okay.
Final one. Let's see if you can make it 6 out of 7 for a very nice percentage here.
I believe I can.
This one might be tough if you don't know some of your Cold War Vietnam history.
Okay.
He would have been 130 today. He was Vietnamese, North Vietnamese. He was basically...
Ho Chi Minh.
Oh, it is Ho Chi Minh.
Yeah.
Look at you. Okay.
He was their little leader. Yeah. I've seen...
North Vietnamese revolutionary politician... Prime Minister, North Vietnam, and President all the way up until his death in 1969.
Yeah, I've watched the Vietnam documentary.
Too good.
By Ken...
Ken Burns.
Ken Burns. I cannot
Great
think
filmmaker.
Absolutely. Fantastic. It's a really good one if you haven't seen the Vietnam one.
He made one about country recently that people have been telling me I need to watch.
Country music?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. I bet
he said
that is
something
good.
About like baseball, country music, Civil War, Vietnam. Ken Burns is great.
He documentary man. Yeah.
Big time documentary man. I got a text from Hayden here. Is this an excuse?
Is it?
Okay, Hayden, if you're listening, I know you sent this text like 4 minutes ago, but no, there wasn't time. He said, oh, is there time? No!
It's over.
I texted you as soon as we went into break. You said text me right before it's time, and I did. You're like on birthday number 3 when you text me. No, there's
you
no time.
You missed it.
Sorry, Hayden. You'll have to try again Thursday, I guess, because AJ Cook will be playing the game tomorrow. With that being said, shout out to you for another good day on the birthday game, Tucker. Another great show in the books here on Overtime. We'll be back again tomorrow at 6 o'clock for Tucker Holt. I'm Tanner Carson. Everyone have a great evening. And I won't forget.